All right, let's pray and we'll get into the word for today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that is able to save our souls. Right now, we commit this time to you, God, to bless our minds, to understand your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you through him via the Holy Spirit. These last days, change us by changing our minds to be reflective of your mind, that we might have an understanding of the ways and word of God, overcoming the flesh, the world, and the devil. God, these are trying times that will try man's soul, in that we're watching the whole paradigm of the world and society shift over to that which accommodates perversion, sodomy, all kinds of institutionalized insanity has taken hold of the human race, in the church, in the political spectrum, on jobs, educational systems. Everything has been infiltrated by the perverse spirit, divined upon society by the Jezebel witchcraft working spirit. And only the church stands as an obstacle to the devil's global dominance. So right now, God, fill us with the Holy Ghost to make a stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, armor clad, prepared for battle, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Demons are in a frenzy, they're in a fever pitch, thinking that they're about to crown their appointed and anointed king to rule the world, to give them free reign to express themselves. That's what it's all about. The devil is raising a man full of himself to give his demons and his legions free reign to do as they please through humans that are held captive as prisoners. But God, we are liberators. We're sent into a place that is a prison to set captives free. And right now, God, empower us to accomplish this mission. Change the minds of people that can hear it to be operating within the confines of the Spirit to set captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, before we get going today, I'm going to do a brief dialogue on the circumstances as they exist in the world today, just for us to get an overview of where we stand in the church world, in the world at large, and what we're up against. Now, anybody can see that this is not the same world that existed not even 5 years ago. If you go back 15 years ago, it's diametrically changed. It's nothing like the world you knew 15 years ago. In our generation, when we were around in the early 80s and mid 80s and the 90s, nothing like this was even imaginable as far as the society and the perversion that is loose now. So we are seeing the world cascade down into the depths of depravity that the Bible outlined would happen. Now, and there's no time to be shocked. It's no time to start jumping around and get excited, because it is written. It's amazing how when Jesus was accosted by Satan after 40 days of fasting and prayer, he just responded, "It is written." But it's amazing to watch how many church people try to take out of the Bible what they like that is written and then leave the other stuff alone. But everything is a promise now, whether it be from our perspective, positive or negative, it's still a promise. So if he made end time promises, the end times will reflect the promises. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 is true. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is true. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is true. All of Revelation is true. Matthew 24 is true. And you can go on and on. Luke 21 is true. Mark 13 is true. Everything in the Bible has to be accepted and believed. He told John in Revelation to eat the whole roll. You got to eat the whole script. You can't just leave out what you don't like. So What's negative from the human perspective is positive from God's perspective. The end of the age and the end of the world is positive from God's perspective because it ends suffering. It ends wickedness, greed, perversion, malice, anger, all the things that make up the world at large, and the reflection of the fact that it is actually a part of Satan's kingdom. Everything in Satan's kingdom is an opposite. Love is hatred. Acceptance is rejection. And we go down the list of things that are positive. You know, joy is actually just bitterness and turmoil and tribulation. You never get anything from the devil long term that is of any value. The devil is just like meeting a guy that treated you nice up front, but he was going to undermine you and destroy you on the back end. See, nobody showed their hand up front. They treat you nice, they talk to you nice, they tell you all the good things they're going to do with you and to you and for you, but then they end up beating you, spitting in your face, cursing you, and kicking your guts in, because nobody shows the hand before they plan to initiate the final destruction. So these people are invoking and inviting the devil into their lives because the devil seems to have your best interest at heart. He seems like he's friendly, he's nice, he's cordial, he has plans, he's going to do great things. But man, the back end is a rough road to hoe. And that's what we're about to see, the back end of the devil's personality. The devil takes over. He comes in, the Bible says, through peace. He comes in preaching peace, unity, the oneness of all of mankind. We're going to touch on all this today as we deal with this message. But what I'm saying is basically this. We finally got to a church world that has been set up to accept the Antichrist. Like no other time in history, the church world is set up to accept the Antichrist. They're basically wrapped up in personalities, which is a precondition to you accepting the Antichrist, worshiping mankind. Remember what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1? They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. So that's the program that's running. Romans chapter 1 is it shows you the program that leads up to that manifestation of the Antichrist, as the Antichrist rules over a reprobate world. To have a reprobate world, you must have people with reprobate minds. So you got to guard your mind. That's why I've learned, don't get wrapped up in anything outside of me. Don't pay attention to stuff that's going to distract me. I'm working on my mind to be centrally focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. You know, I'll sit in bed some nights by myself, meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my mind to be anchored in the Lord, because in a storm, the only anchor that will hold is the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody else can die. Anybody else can go crazy. Anybody can forsake the Lord. But the Lord is faithful. He is faithful that promised. So all this hoopla and the circus called the world that spins around us on a daily basis, it's just like a hurricane or a tornado. In the center of it, you got calm, but the winds spin around it. See, the low pressure is in the center, but it causes the cataclysmic events around it. So peace in the midst of the storm is what we got. So you don't want to take 5 steps to the right and get in the wind flow of the storm, because you're going to be, what's going to happen to you? The Bible tells you verbatim, you'll be blown about by every wind of doctrine. That's what he's talking about. Get in the middle of the storm and you won't be blown about by all the doctrine. When you got peace in Jesus Christ, you know who you are. You know who he is. You're accepted and the beloved. There's nothing to prove. There's nothing to debate. I got nothing to strive about. In Christ, you're all right. But I'm going to show you how a lot of folks can get out there and kid themselves about their salvation, and they're going to be lost at the end because they've kidded themselves all along the trail. Your mind is able to imagine anything. And the most detrimental thing your mind can imagine is that you're saved. I'm imagining I'm saved, but I never have been. It's going to be terrifying as this thing begins to unravel around us, and yet I'm not anchored in the Lord, and I have nothing to keep me as the world basically drops out. The whole paradigm changes. Satan comes to power. It's a world gone mad. It's reflective of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Now what do I do? Because I don't really have Jesus. Now I'm down here. The mark of the beast is imminent. You got to take it or you can't buy or sell. I don't know the Lord. What am I going to do? It's going to be total calamity and chaos for a lot of people. The Bible says this terror, this fearfulness has overtaken one particular group of people, the hypocrites. Fearfulness has overtaken the hypocrites, the play actors. The sinners in Zion are afraid. You watch it unfold. It's coming to us like a freight train. And only those that know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. You'll be out here in the middle of it, unmoved by it, because this is your world, not mine. I could care less what happens to it. It's not my world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So we're going to show you through this message where we're at. And we're going to show you how the lines of demarcation are going to form up, and you're going to see the Red Sea fold back left and right. You'll either be on this side of the fence or the other. But one thing you can be assured of, the fence is on fire. You're going to jump left or you're going to jump right. God is going to inflame the fence, and you're going to get off of that fence. You know, you got a lot of fence sitters that are trying to make themselves believe, you know, yeah, I'm serious and, you know, I'm with the Lord and, hey, I'm saved and all the other stuff you can say, the code words you've learned to announce and pronounce over yourself. But if it's not real, when this deal goes down, it's going to blow people's minds. The reality of what the Bible said. See, everything in the Bible, I think over 80% of the prophecies have come to pass. That lets us know that the other 20% will surely come to pass. So, you know, 80% of it, and it's still unfolding. And you're watching right in front of us real time, the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Who would have thought 5 years ago, homosexual marriage, federal courts upholding it state after state, one state at a time. Every time a state challenges it, the federal courts overturn the challenge. That's not done helter-skelter and just a happenstance. Jesus said it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Now, all you have to do is go to your Bible and look at the days of Noah and study the days of Lot. Start at Genesis around chapter 3 or 4 and go right through chapter 19, and you'll see the days of Noah and the days of Lot unfolding. Two characteristics: Noah's day, angelic visitation from fallen angels, interactive with females on earth, perverting the gene pool of the human race and animalizing people. And the earth became full of wickedness, perversion. They became madmen because they joined themselves with an unseen hybrid group of individuals that had come to take over the world. Star Wars couldn't have been more spectacular. I mean, Lucas and Spielberg and all the rest of those boys couldn't have thrown this up. Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek could never come close to this. But it happened. And folks don't like the metaphysical parts of the Bible. So they try to either dilute them or disregard them. See, the metaphysical chapter in Genesis chapter 6, folks don't like it. So they change it to the sons of Seth. You have to read that into it. That's eisegesis. You're making it say what you want it to say. the sons of Seth are never mentioned in Genesis chapter 6. How did you come to that conclusion? I don't like the fact that it's metaphysical. I can't understand how it happened, so I got to make it make sense to me so I can be comfortable with it. This is an interdimensional, metaphysical, supernatural, extraterrestrial war. And the devil mocks man by making it a movie theme. Transformers. Extraterrestrial warfare. Transformers. See, he does that for a reason. He's mocking man. The devil likes to do what he's doing and then put it right in front of you and dare you to see it. He loves that. He loves to make fun of people while he's destroying them. He'll have you laughing at your own destruction. So the days of Noah, a metaphysical war, a metaphysical invasion. The days of Lot, sodomy, perversion, sexual avarice, and all types of perverted activity, to the degree that if angels came in the form of men, radical, militant homosexuals, bring them out that we might sodomize them. Every man that comes in here will sodomize. I mean, wait till the streets get like that. When it's no longer just, you know, held up in like a sanitized version of marriage. That they're aching so bad to sodomize a man that they would drag your boy out of the house and sodomize him. You're not able to stop demonic appetites. They get worse and worse. You can't cut a deal with them and put up a barrier and say you just go this far. It don't happen like that. Demons are insatiable. Demons will never stop their intrusion into your life. They want more ground, more territory until they rule the whole thing, until they utterly consume you and they turn you into an animal. That's what we're looking at right now. Civilization is being animalized. A lot of times we get responses to messages, we don't show love. That's a demon. I'm going to show you why that's a demon in just a minute. See, because they want you to feel love. We're not here to make you feel love. We're here to transform you into love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. That's a big difference that most folk can't even process. But we're going to try to show you how that's possible in just a minute here. So we're going to just jump it off from right there. Also reminding you, August 22nd, 24th, we're having the conference down in Destin, Florida. August 22nd, 24th, we'll go hit the ground running Friday night dealing with deliverance and demons. Got a video presentation by Frank Hammond discussing demons, how they get in, how Christians can have them, no matter how much folk want to try to jump up talking about you can't have them. I teach a message like this, you'll get people already on Facebook telling you how demons can't be in Christians. Because they try to hedge off at the path. That's a lie from hell. The only person you can cast a demon out of is a Christian, because anybody else will have the demon come back and bring back seven others worse than themselves. Deliverance is the children's bread. When you get saved, you're progressively coming out of the kingdom of the devil, and you're divesting yourself of the things that captivated you while you were in the kingdom of the devil. So deliverance is good news. As you come out, God is extricating you from the captivity that was once binding you by casting out the devils, restoring the damage done from the devils, and then filling you with the Holy Ghost. It's progressive as you come away from that world. The further you get away from the devil's kingdom, the more you get transformed into a vessel that the Bible says you are now fit for the master to use you. It makes perfect sense. There's nothing big about it. It's nothing embarrassing about it. You're fighting and warring your way out of captivity to set others free. That's what it's all about. All right. We're going to get into the message for today. It's entitled, I Am Possessed. I Am Possessed. Now, of course, somebody on YouTube now just split that off and made it into just me saying that. And they're going to come back and say, Gary Price said he was possessed. You know, I mean, that goes to territory, man. Nothing you can do about it. Every time you do or say something, some kook is always lurking in the shadow to change what you see it, splice it together on some, you know, some video somewhere, edit it together, and make it seem like you said something that you didn't say. But they'll have to answer to God for what they're doing, because that has to be done on purpose to try to undermine any message presented by the Holy Spirit. And of course, you answer for that stuff now. You don't get a free pass. When you do dirt, guess what happens? You got to pay for it, and you get back what you did. You still reap what you sow. Now, that didn't go away from the Bible just because, you know, you think it did. Everybody still reaps exactly what they sowed. So we're dealing with forces down here that must be exposed. And when you begin to expose forces, all kinds of crazy things begin to happen around you, but you can't be moved by them. That's why I never flinch. I never get into what's going on around me. I got to focus on what I have to do at a particular point in time, and I get the job done. Let the smoke billow. Let the winds blow. The old song is, let the wind blow. Blow as hard as it can, but I'm standing on this solid rock of God. I stand. That's how you got to be. You got to keep focused on what you have to do. You don't always feel like it. You don't always feel good. Everything is not always beautiful, but that's the way it goes. We're going to read one chapter here, or a couple of chapters, out of the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum. One of the books that you don't hardly read too much. It's about, I guess, about three or four books past Daniel. Maybe about five books past Daniel, you'll run into Nahum. You go through Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, and right after Micah, you run into Nahum, the prophet. All right, Nahum, chapter 1, he says there's the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. You can think Jesus Christ is happy-go-lucky if you want to. You can think he's weak if you want to. The Lord revenges and he is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger. Now, the reason why you see so many things go on for so long is because it takes time for God to get angry enough to do something about it. But when he does something about it, it's real ugly. He gives Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 and following, space to repent, but she would not. Therefore, I will destroy her children with death. I'll kill her children with death. See, he begins to move, and then people are shocked that this is happening. It's like when you threaten your child for 6 months to stop doing what they're doing, and then when you finally move, I can't believe you're doing this to me. You're taking the car. Didn't I tell you to stop going down to that club and letting that guy drive your car? Didn't I tell you to stop smoking that dope and drinking that liquor? Yeah, but it's not fair. That's the mind of a person that's seeing judgment now executed on them. When God executes judgment on this world, the world will be in awe of the power of God. Watch what God, how God operates. Now look at this. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Now, you know, an acquittal is a pardon. I'm going to acquit you of the crime. He's like, I'm not going to acquit the wicked. I'm not. The Lord hath had his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. He'll judge a lot of times using tornadoes, hurricanes, and storms. Destroys whole communities. And the people just sit there wondering, why did this happen? This is unbelievable. The destruction was at an apocalyptic level. People like to say that. You know, the apocalypse is the word for the end of the age in Revelation. So they always try to say that a disaster is apocalyptic. He judges in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The clouds you look up at are dust to God's feet. Now that's right. Now what are we and who are we really dealing with? You're looking up at these amazing cloud formation. He looks at it like, man, that dust on the bottom of my shoes. I'm thinking, man. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Bashan languishes and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him and the hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. Yes, the world and all that dwell therein. If God walked through the earth, he'd burn up the whole place. Our God is still a consuming fire. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Now, you wait till he really expresses his anger. He hasn't expressed his anger yet. They're doing all this stuff, and all they're doing is stacking up God's wrath. They're just making him get madder and madder. And when his fury comes to a fever pitch, when the cup of iniquity is full and he vents himself on the world, you don't want to be standing in front of God when he's angry. The Bible says it's a fearful thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of an angry God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, a stronghold when? Amen. So you better be in Christ when the day of trouble comes. And he knows them that trust in him. You can't fool God when you say you trust him and you don't. I know them that really trust me. I know them that have been prostrating themselves before me, fasting and praying, seeking me, begging me every day to pour the Spirit out on them, who have sought me for transformation of their minds, who have meditated on my word day and night. People who are outside the camp, all they can do is examine you and what you do. You better get in for you. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. He's going to utterly destroy. Don't worry about affliction the second time, because once he utterly destroys, it won't be a second time. For while they be folding together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagines evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Here you have the Antichrist. There is one that comes out of you that imagines evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. So now, that one that comes out of you is referring to a duality of the Antichrist. Here's what I mean. He comes out from the midst of the people as a visible person, the Antichrist. But he must rule over people that have had that same wicked counselor come out of the midst of the person. You've got to be in agreement with the Antichrist for the Antichrist to rule with you. So the devil first sends what? The spirit of Antichrist to prepare the way for the physical Antichrist. He has to spend time sending a spirit of Antichrist to get into the people. Otherwise, you would not accept the Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist becomes what to you? A counselor. It just told you. The Bible explains itself. You're being counseled by the Antichrist spirit. What does a counselor do in high school when getting 11th and 12th grade already? Advise you. Huh? Advise you. Advises. An advisor. I'm advising you about what to accept and what to reject. That Price guy and those people at Omega Ministries, that's not love. Because I'm going to define it for you, and I'm going to advise you as your counselor. Don't go to Duke. Go to Yale. No, I advise you not to go to Yale. Stanford will be a better fit for you. No, I'm pretty sure Stanford is not right for you. Go over here to Georgia Tech. And you're taking under consideration what? The advice of the counselor. That's what has your mind hijacked. That's why you can't see clearly. Because out of the midst of you, there comes a wicked counselor. He says, thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. So he's dealing with this thing, this yoke that's on you, that has to be broken off of you. The yoke is not able to be taken off of you. He's got to break the yoke. And the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. What's a yoke? A yoke is what you put around two oxen's neck when they're plowing together. It's a wooden yoke that yokes them together, and they're pulling together in the same direction to pull that plow over that tract of land. So he says, I'm going to break that yoke, giving you the ability to do what? Separate. So you've been yoked to something. But you got to be set free from the thing that you are yoked to. If not, your worldview, your perspectives, your thinking patterns will align themselves with the wicked counselor that's yoking you to itself and giving you this contrary advice, turning you away from God. The yoke shall be taken from off of your neck because of the anointing. The anointing breaks that yoke. And the Lord has given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown out of the house of thy gods. Will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. Now you know that comes out of the Bible. Yes. In the New Testament. Mm-hmm. He talks about him that publishes good news. Mm-hmm. How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. The wicked shall no more pass through thee. Yes. He is utterly cut off. Everything you gotta drill this down into your hearing. Everything concerning the Christian experience is all about the conquest of inner space. That's why we have been misdirected. That's why folks talk so much. That's why everybody has a word from God and they're preaching and teaching, and you got folks running around trying to make themselves apostles and prophets and business cards handed out talking about their evangelists, because they're not conquering inner space. They're trying to become famous. I mean, if you want to be famous, make chocolate chip cookies. But if you want to be a child of God, you got to conquer inner space. Inner space has to be conquered. The enemy is within. That's where it is. Once you conquer inner space, your particular Christian journey is over. But everybody's trying to jump to the microphone to tell everybody something. Conquer inner space. It's easy to be in front of folk trying to preach to them. But I came along in a time when all the guys you see hanging around, the Creflo Dollars, the all these guys you see out here preaching, now they were sitting in the congregation when we were around casting out devils in the church. I know all that preacher stuff. I've been offered all that preacher stuff. I could have came up under a guy and gotten in with the gang and been raised up and had a 20,000 member mega church. But that won't conquer inner space. You see how people measure success? Why do the masses go toward the crowd? Why do the herds all go together in the same direction? Because they are evaluating success using sight, when the Bible plainly tells us you walk by faith and not by sight. And folks still running trying to get success based on the world's conception and perception of success. Success to God is for you to have a pure heart, clean lips, live righteously before your God, and have every demonic entity eliminated from your personality. That's success. And you'll have good success. Success is to be filled with the Holy Ghost and moving in obedience to the Spirit as a son of God. That's success. But look, folk don't like that. So they don't buy into a mission that's designed to conquer inner space, because they still have carnal affectations. Carnal affectations will defile you. You still want to be seen. You still got that diva in you that's trying to be seen. So now you start a woman's ministry and you get all these young girls following you because they have the same affectations that you do. Why do you think women watch the Housewives of LA, the Housewives of Atlanta, the Housewives of New York? Why do they zero in on what the Kardashians are doing? How can they make these people in the stars? Most of these shows are always promoted and they're watched by women. Scandal is watched by women. Why? The scandalous woman is the same thing that I am. Soap operas. All this stuff is watched by women because they got the same spirit in them that the star is projecting. So you get a diva, put her in a church, have her standing behind her husband with one hand on his shoulder showing that big old 6-carat ring, standing there with all that hair draped down their shoulders and the little short dress on and the stilettos. And that's what the women see as the first lady. And I'm here at the church looking at the first lady because I really want to be the first lady. And she reflects my desires. So look at that. Look at me. I can go here and I can still be a diva. And a diva comes from the word for divinity. A diva is a worshipped woman. A diva is the same thing as a prima ballerina. That's what a first lady is. Why you call, they call the woman in the church the first lady? She's the prima ballerina for the rest of the demons, divas to emulate. I almost said demons, and that's more. I think that's right. That's the first demon of the church. She's the first demon of the church, and the rest of the demons are here to emulate her. So you see what I'm saying? It's all a trick. It's the tricks of the trade. And when I expose it, see, that guy's evil. That's no love. He's judging. No, I just put my finger on that devil in you. You got that devil in you, and that's why you're sitting there emulating that diva, because you got that diva spirit in you wanting to be worshipped still. And if I mention it, that devil is now exposed, and the devil goes into hyperdrive. It goes into hyperactivity because now it can be seen. It's the tricks of the trade. I've been around this for 30 years. I mean, I don't know everything, but what I know, I know. I know what I've lived through. I know what I've seen. It's a lot of tricks to the trade. I've had all the offers. I've had all the stuff. I've had all that stuff. I'm able to be the armor bearer, to be raised up, to be a pastor somewhere over a large congregation and moving and shaking with the money boys and hanging around with the fellas. And, you know, man, listen. When you turn toward the conquest of inner space, you're going to go up the rough side of the mountains because you're going to engage what? Demons, fallen angels, a satanic stronghold in the mind. The devil's going to fight you because you're moving his entities out of the arenas where they control. See, the devil don't like that. He won't like you. So you're going to get a firestorm around you. And only those who have transformed minds can walk in the midst of the firestorm, because they won't be moved by things. You won't have all the carnal attitudes and thinking, and all that stuff will be dismissed because you are being transformed, and your mind becomes flatline, and you just do the job, and you're not emotional. Like a guy, you know, said the other day, see, there's no love coming out of Price's message. That's not love. Then he went on to talk about how much he shows love. I can tell you why that's a lie. Because the person that shows love would never mention it. You know why? Because love is a selfless spirit. It flows out of you looking for no reciprocity. You look for nothing in return. If you want to reflect Jesus' love, you never mention that you show love.
That's right.
Because Jesus laid his life down looking for nothing in return. He that knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. While we were yet sinners, God sent Jesus Christ to redeem us. God so loved the world that he of his own accord gave his only begotten son, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. So you see now, love never mentions the fact that I'm doing all these things to show love, and I become a martyr for the body of Christ, giving my life over to it. And the things I do to show love to the people is not really accepted and appreciated. No, what you are is proud, into yourself, and looking for worship from people because of what you did. And you stink. You stink like a pile of feces dropped by a bull out in the middle of a field. You stink. And you think you're saying something, but everybody that's spiritual can see that's not love. That's the stinking flesh, the proud thinking, stinking flesh, looking for accolades, looking for some kind of an appreciation or attaboys, and you're going to finally get yourself in a state to get a pastor's appreciation dinner. Well, you have the pastor's appreciation dinner. What about the secretary? What about the guys parking cars in the rain every Sunday? Who appreciates them? Their ministry is just as valid as any preacher or pastor. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. None. You drive by all these churches and billboards with the couple standing there, the husband and wife, like it's a family-run business. Why is everybody's picture on everything? What's wrong with everybody? See, the right spirit is to make yourself of no reputation. You preach the gospel because you're dealing with inner space. And when you deal with inner space, don't worry, you won't be of any reputation. Because you're going to engage demons that are going to be mad, and they're going to be fighting you with everything they've got. And they got some weapons. They got some ways to influence people's minds and give them perspectives about you. It's the way it goes. So what do? You stand there. You do one thing. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. That's it. You shall know the truth, and the truth must make you free. It will make you free. See, the truth is a freedom maker. If somebody tells you the truth long enough, strong enough, and hard enough, it'll break that yoke, because the Holy Ghost will anoint truth. He is the spirit of truth. Truth is what he anoints. So remember now, your entire Christian experience is wrapped up in the conquest of inner space. That'll get rid of all the striving on the internet. Folks writing entire books on the internet trying to give you a Facebook post, and they're writing a book full of pride trying to make you see all this junk they know, because they're not conquering inner space. Like they're so concerned about, they're not concerned about you, they're trying to give you a lot of data to ingest to make themselves look like somebody. It's foolishness. Conquer inner space. And you know how you know you've conquered inner space? You'll have power. You'll have power. No power All you got is data and information. You dig, see, gold must be mined. You're not going to find gold. We're not going to go outside right now and say, you know, look at all that gold sitting over there on that sidewalk. Go and get some of that and put it in the back of my car. You're not going to find gold sitting out on the side of a sidewalk. If it was, it wouldn't be sitting there long. Gold must be mined from the depths of the earth. That's the way God is. You got to dig down deep to find God, because God resides in your spirit. So God sends us where? He sends us on an exodus into the inner man. You're looking to tap into the gold. But you guess what? Between Egypt and the promised land, what do you have? You got a wilderness. You got a wilderness. It's a lot of stuff in you that you don't know about. So you must be made aware of what's in you. I always use the movie The Matrix as an example. I'm not telling people to watch The Matrix. I'm not telling you to like The Matrix. I'm not telling you The Matrix is spiritual. But the sequence where they wake up Neo out of that state in The Matrix where he's bound to The Matrix, and he wakes up to realize none of this is real. That's what the gospel will do to you. It will make you finally realize that your whole life is a fantasy-stricken lie. And you don't even know it. Everything you thought that was real has been orchestrated by Satan and is not even real. You can be married for 20 years and nothing has been real in your marriage. So got a woman across town with 3 kids, one up in Alaska with 2 kids, and one in Baltimore with 5 kids. And you thought, I'm happy. Well, I'm happily married. You might be happily married, but this joke about 15 kids, about other women. What? You didn't know? I never fathomed that Rodney was doing this to me. See, it's a rude awakening when you wake up out of a fantasy and you really find out what's going on. Why do you think most folk that hear this message draw back? You know what's doing that? Why they draw back from it? Like, this can't be right. Because they're being conditioned by religion to accept fantasy and feelings and emotions as godly. This guy is just talking to me and not working me up. He's not tuning up. He's not squalling. He don't have a white handkerchief wiping his brow and going down on one knee and coming up, tuning up with his voice and doing all this tonal inflection to get me worked up and shaking. And finally, I jump up and go to shouting and pumping around the church. And that's having church. He's just talking to me like somebody talks to you over a telephone or something. I just can't see this being spiritual. The Holy Ghost is not moving. You had a ghost moving, but it wasn't holy. We preached a message a long time ago called, you got a ghost, but he ain't holy. You can have, it's a lot of ghosts down here now. And you can get goosebumps from the devils. The devils will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I feel something in my belly. I know that devil's moving around to stimulate you, making you think that spiritual is happening to you. But you got a snake up in you that's moving around now to make, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving down in my bones. No, that's a demon stirring you up religiously because you're interacting with a religious spirit. Jake says that, man, he has actually perfected this. That devil start divining through Jake's, and you just start feeling things. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's the Lord. The Holy Ghost is a ghost, but it's not holy. Why do I know that? Because Jakes is a oneness Pentecostal preacher. He's got false delusional doctrine. The Holy Ghost ain't confirming no false delusional doctrine, good buddy. It ain't gonna happen. All these people listen to these Calvinists, John MacArthur and Piper and all these guys, that ain't the Holy Ghost. How do I know? Because he's not going to confirm false doctrine. This ain't rocket science, y'all. If the doctrine is false, that's not a brother in the Lord. That's another ghost. That's a demonic entity. And you're going to end up possessed by a demon that you let in religiously. So why you got to do what? Study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth for yourself. You got to spend study time for yourself to be able to see and receive the real apostles, the real prophets, the real evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You can't even see them when you're filtering false information through demonic entities that are embedded in you. The goal of ministry is to set the captive free. Look what Jesus said when he came. I came to open prison doors, set at liberty them that are bruised, set captives free. I'm here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's all about liberating people. Everybody down here is bound by the devil. Born under curses. Every week we're putting on the internet leading up to the conference different ministry tapes by Frank Hammond, where he has prayers breaking curses, prayers breaking the spirit of rejection off of your mind. So we're leading up to something. Don't think we're fighting this one that beats at the wind now. We're preparing people for deliverance. By the time we hit down in Destin on Friday night, if you have fasted, if you prayed, it's easy to cast out devils when the ground has been prepared to get rid of them. You got to do what? Break up fallow ground. What's fallow ground? Hard ground. It's hard. You can't get stuff out of ground that's hardened. You got to break it up. So all these things we do are designed to prepare people for deliverance. Unless you just want the demons you got. Well, I'm comfortable with the demons I have, and they don't bother me, and I don't bother them. No, you might not bother them, but they sure bother you. Because they've infiltrated themselves into your thinking patterns, your emotions, your feelings, and your desires, and they become one with you in a stealth fashion, and you don't even know it. It's how the Matrix works. It's a fantasy-generated world. Satan is a magician by trade. Did you know that? That the Satan's forte is being a magician, meaning he can work spells. He can mesmerize. He can make you believe this is over here when it's really over there using sleight of hand. A magician is very astute at deception and distractions, and to make you believe A is B when it's really A, and making you believe B is A when it's really B. He's distracting you. He's always thwarting you. He'll lead you down the wrong pathway for years, only to wake up to find out I've been deceived. I woke up out of Roman Catholicism. I woke up out of whatever I was in, Jehovah's Witnesses. I was a Mormon for years. Think about how many years people spend in false religion and finally come to the conclusion, this is not even right. Folks came out of Baptist churches by the thousands in the 80s. The 70s and 80s, you saw an exodus from the Baptist church into the Word of Faith movement. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capps, Robert Tilton, Oral Roberts, Fred Price, all these folks in that Word of Faith stuff. Your words can shape your reality. E.W. Kenyon's teaching about your words, a miracle in your mouth. Folks are still hanging on to that to this very day. I don't receive that. That's not my confession. This is your season for blessing, for favor. Folks still living in it, not knowing it was all a delusion. They told you back then, just call those things that be not as though they were. That's not Bible, that's magic. Call those things that be not as though they were. You got a cold. I'm not receiving that. I'm not confessing that. Well, you know, all that mucus running down your shirt don't look too good, though. Now, I mean, I'm not receiving this any mucus running out of my nose. Look how crazy this is. I think that cold has become a pneumonia. You better go see a doctor. I don't go to a doctor. I don't receive I have a cold, nor do I receive I have pneumonia. You're in the hospital, passed out in a coma from the pneumonia. You can't breathe. I'm not receiving I can't breathe. They pronounce you dead. They'll carry you to the morgue. I'm not receiving. I'm in the morgue. They did at your funeral. They put you 6 feet under the ground and covered you over dirt and put a tombstone over your grave. I am not receiving this dirt, this grave, or this tombstone. I am not going to receive the fact that I am dead. You're crazy. That's lunacy. That's insanity. That's what people believed. To this very day, you still got people hanging on to that delusion released in the late 70s and early 80s. The Bible doesn't say anything about you calling those things to be not as though they were. You can't find that in the Bible. You know what it does say? God, who calls those things that be not as though they were. Why does God do that? Why is he able to do that? Because he's timeless. See, what he's saying to you, it is to him, because I'm already in the future. What did he tell Mary? You're going to bear a child, call his name Jesus. I haven't even known a man. That's crazy. This angel is crazy. Look, you came here as an angel, Gabriel. Why'd you come into my house crazy? I haven't known a man. I can't be pregnant. Look, girl, with God, all things are possible. What did I tell you? He's calling those things to be not as though they were. Now, what does he need you to do? Believe what I just said. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You got to believe when he tells you. He'll tell you a lot of things about your future that don't, it's no way I can be that. You're a crack addict on the street visited by an angel. Hello, thou mighty man of God. I'm a crack addict. I'm about half dead out here. I got nowhere to stay. You calling me a mighty man of God? Yes, Gideon. I've called you a mighty man of God. He's calling those things that be not as though they were. He's projecting your future into you right now. That's not for you to jump up with some magic spell trying to make things come to reality. Folks were down there at the Bentley dealership. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm claiming this Bentley. A $475,000 Bentley. Come to me now. Excuse me, sir. See that squad car over there that's pulling up into the lot? That's about to arrest you for putting your hand on this $400,000 Bentley, thinking you're about to try to break into it. You better get off of these people's property and stop making a fool out of yourself. I don't receive that. Okay. Handcuffs, possibly billy clubbed. You see what I'm saying? Back of a squad car, overnight in jail. Crazy. And I say that, you know what will happen when I say that? The folks that believe that stuff, you know what they're getting right now? Mad. What's getting mad in them? The demon that came from the false doctrine that indoctrinated them. Man, this stuff it sounds like it's crazy, it's weird, but it's real. Your mind is very, very, very tender. Yeah, it's susceptible to a lot of inputs. You can't put your mind in front of anything because your mind will ingest it and believe it and walk in it, and you won't even know you're walking in it. You got to guard your heart, the Bible said, with what? All diligence, because out of it, your heart flows the issues of life. You got to guard what you ingest, because what you ingest, you'll digest, and what you digest, you'll become. You don't believe it? Just look at your stomach. Your stomach just didn't get like, you know, one day I woke up, my stomach was just round. It used to be flat, but now it's round. I wonder how that happened. You ingest it, you digest it, and the fat showed up. It's the way it works. That's the way spiritual things work. Ingestion, digestion, and then you get assimilation into the body work. It becomes part of you, and you'll walk in it. So I know when I'm saying things, I'm hitting against spiritual forces and stuff like that. I know some people get mad and angry, but hey, it's designed to set you free. You get two kinds of people. You get the kinds of people that say, this message is not far enough. So you're not holy enough, you're not righteous enough because you don't preach the Sabbath day. You don't preach about tithing. You don't preach about abstaining from certain things that I know you can't do. You don't preach about the dictates of what I belong to, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You don't sign off on my pharisaical outlook on life, so therefore I don't like you. And the Bible tells you verbatim, don't let any man judge you concerning a Sabbath day. And they make Sabbath day keeping a doctrine and become a Seventh-day Adventist. And we'll get mad. Why? The demon that controls the Seventh-day Adventist religion rises up to defend its territory. It's got you captivated under the law, and you know the law is not of grace. But if you walk in the law, you got to do every law. You better be in back of your house burning bullocks and offering them up to God every day. And you better be doing everything under the law. If you observe one law, you got to do the whole law. And no human has ever been able to do the whole law. So that's futile to even bring it up. So you got the folks that believe I'm not legalistic enough. And then folks believe, man, you're just too legalistic. You're too legalistic. There's no love. Why are you judging the homosexuals? Love them. Well, if I tell you as a homosexual what Leviticus 18:22 or Leviticus 20:13 says, that it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man like he lies with a woman, I haven't judged anybody. I just read the Bible. How could I possibly be judging somebody reading the Bible? That's impossible. Well, don't read that part of it. Don't read Romans chapter 1 that tells you that homosexuality is error. Guess what's happening? They're building up a case right now to make all of that hate speech. They're going to actually get to the place that they're going to make the Bible and reading of it hate speech. In your generation, it's going to happen. If you open your Bible in a public arena and read out of it aloud, you're hating on a group of people that have been made into another race. They're making the homosexual the same thing as black folks back in the 40s and 50s. You're being discriminated against with Jim Crow laws.